Welcome to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. This is the show that teaches you how to become stronger, thinner, healthier, happier, and much more. Now, here's your host, Dr. David Matto.
Hey, it's Dr. Dave, and welcome back to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. This is the show where I help you live stronger, thinner, healthier, and happier. I got a great one for you today. Just to kind of preempt it, I am in my car studio. I call it my car studio because I'm driving. I've got my microphone. It's nice and comfortable and quiet. I've got a great story to tell you today. By the way, thank you so much for being a listener, a friend. If this is your first time listening, I thank you so much for joining us. I warn you, you're going to become addicted to this show. If you're a longtime friend or listener, welcome back. It's so great to have you. So many, many months ago, Yoko signed me up as well as herself for a half marathon. And half marathon doesn't sound too bad. You know, practically do a half marathon in my sleep these days. But a half marathon in Breckenridge, Colorado, which is to be run at an average of well over 10,000 feet altitude. So, you know, when you get up that high, you know, you start to wonder about how much oxygen there's going to be, how you're going to feel up in the mountains. But I was excited. We're signed up for this thing. We're going to do it. And we're in Breckenridge, kind of acclimating for a good 2 weeks before the race. And I'm excited. I know I'm going to do this thing. And so a week before the race, I come down with this crazy bug. It started off as kind of a cold or allergies. I really didn't know what it was, but it turned into something that just felt bacterial to me. You know, when you sneeze and you see this like dark colored stuff coming out of your nose and you're coughing, you know it's turning bacterial. So I put myself on Z-Pak, Zithromax, which I don't really like to take antibiotics, and it's extremely rare that I would ever take an antibiotic. I mean, you know, I'm vegan, I eat totally plant-based, I eat healthy, I work out, and I just don't think antibiotics are good. But being at the altitude that I was and turning bacterial, I just felt like my immune system probably needed a little bit of a boost. So I put myself on a Z-Pak, which is 5 days worth of 5 days worth of Zithromax, and thinking, am I going to run this race or not? I don't know. It's getting closer and closer. I'm starting to feel a little bit better, but 13.1 miles in the mountains, up and down hills. Oh, by the way, it's not a road race. It's on trails. It's in the woods, in the mountains, on trails. So I think it's probably about as difficult as like a full marathon on the road. So I don't know. Am I going to run this well? It's getting closer. I'm feeling better. But then I start looking at the weather forecast, and they're predicting rain during this race. Now, imagine not feeling 100%. Combine that with a cold rain and running on muddy trails. No, I'm not doing that. That's ridiculous. So as it's getting closer and closer, it's the day before, I'm thinking, look, it looks like, so the race starts at 8:30 a.m. It looks like I'm going to be safe from all rain until about 11. Then the skies are going to open up and it's going to start to pour. So I said to Yoko, here's what I'm going to do, Yoko. The course was such that it looked like, by looking at the trail map, it looked like it would be fairly easy to run half of it, which, you know, about 6 miles, 6.5 miles, and then duck out of the race because it kind of winds around where we all start from. So I kind of, you know, I'll duck out around 6 miles. Yoko, you can finish the race. I just don't feel like running in the rain, in the cold, and you know, especially if I'm getting over not feeling well. So that was my plan. So the skies are overcast. The day of the race, we get there and we start the run. And they're less than 100 people running this race. It's a small race, small race. And they start the race. And my goal was, okay, I'm going to, since I just haven't been feeling 100%. My goal is to start by walking, because, you know, when a race is 13 miles, and even if I'm going to only run half of it, you know, it's still difficult running in the mountains, running at 10,000 feet elevation. Try it sometime. It's not easy. So I started off, I'm in the back of the pack. There might be a couple people behind me. But just picture the race is starting. It's on the road at first. And then after about a mile, mile and a half, we take a right onto a really beautiful trail, which starts going through the woods. And there's a lot of up and down, mostly up, it seemed like, but not real steep up yet. But I'm still kind of doing my thing, walking, adding a little bit of run when I can into it. And I got to tell you, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm not feeling bad. And there's some zigzag back and forth and some ups and downs. And a lot of the race is on this, what we call single track trail. So single track, imagine, is just a thin, thin trail through the woods. It's not even wide enough for two people to be running side by side. That's a single track. So, and then it changes to like a little bit of a Jeep trail and then single track again. And, you know, by mile three, mile four, I'm starting to feel pretty good and get into the groove of this thing. I go past the first kind of the aid station and get a little water. Plus, I'm carrying water in my backpack. I've got a little camelback carrying some food and water, even a dry shirt, dry socks if I need it. And I'm looking at, and it starts to rain a little bit around mile two, mile three. But then it stops. And as I'm getting further into the race, mile three, mile four, mile five, I'm really getting into the groove of this thing, and I'm combining running with walking, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, the sky looks like it might hold off a little bit. It just might hold off, and I'm looking at my watch, and I'm not doing that bad, and I'm feeling good. And as I approach the halfway point, it's the time I have to make my decision. I have to make my decision really quickly. Am I going to duck out of this race now and walk back to the start? And by the way, I had the car keys because the deal was I was going to run half of it. And I said to Yoko, well, you know, I'm going to run half. I'll get back to the car. I'll be warm. I'll stay in the car. I'll wait for you. So I had the car keys, and I also had the key to the room. But I get to the halfway point. Just about, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm feeling too good now, and I've got too much invested in this, and I am not quitting. I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to continue this run. So I ran past that second aid station at about the halfway point, and I didn't even ask them how to get back to the start. I said, I'm going to just keep this thing going. So as I passed the second aid station, that's around the halfway point, the guy motioned to me. He was saying something to me. I think I had some earbuds in, and I couldn't really understand, so I pulled my earbuds out. And what he was saying was, be careful, because as you pass this station, the lead runners are going to be coming right at you. And what he meant was, I better really be careful, because it's a single-track trail, and as I passed this aid station, there were like two lead runners. So the runners that are like finishing this race up, I only was at the halfway point, but they were finishing the race, or almost finished. Maybe they had 2 miles to go. They were coming at me hard, so I had to like move off this trail and let the lead runners go. And by the way, the guy in the lead looked great. He's a man, probably, I'm guessing, I don't know, 40 years old, something like that. Total guess. And the second place person, at least at that point, was a woman. And she was less than a minute behind this guy. So a woman was tailing this guy for first place. Now, the reason I say that, look, I'm not a sexist. You know that everybody's equal in my book, and I love everybody. But let's face it, when it comes to running, especially marathons, half marathons, men statistically have faster times. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much the deal. We have, not me, when I say we, I don't, because I'm proud to be a slow back-of-the-pack runner. But men, historically, run faster than women. That's just pretty much the way it is. That's the way our bodies are built. Again, present company not included. But they're coming at me. And then I let them pass, there are several more people that are doing really, really well. And I pretty much had the courtesy to get off the trail, just move over into the trees, and I let them pass me. And they were all very, very polite, and they said thanks a lot. And it got to the point where I branched off, and the trails diverged, and I wasn't worried about anybody coming at me anymore, because, you know, it was kind of a loop. So I'm running and running and walking and doing some running, and I get to the point where there's another aid station at about, oh by the way, it's going downhill quite a bit. I mean, downhill, meaning the terrain, not my body, but the terrain. So I figure, you know, what goes down is ultimately going to have to come up. And yeah, so after 8.5 miles, after that aid station, at about 8.5, closer to the 9-mile point, oh, let me tell you something. The course started going uphill. And there was an uphill climb for about 2 miles straight. Now, imagine running in a race. It's a 13-mile race, and you're at mile 9, and it just starts going steeply uphill. I mean steep. For 2 miles straight. Talking about having your heart beating outside of you. I could feel my heart beating. I was breathing heavy. I had to take a couple little just breaks to just grab some air and even take some water or whatever, some fuel or whatever I needed to do. But it was really tough. And I've started to think, well, should I have continued? Am I okay? And I was okay. I knew I had to take it very, very slow. So I get to the last aid station at about mile 11, and they said to me, you've completed the hill, the 2-mile hill. The rest of this course is either flat or downhill. And I said, are you sure? You're not lying to me, right? It's going to be flat, promise me, or downhill. They said, we promise it's going to be flat for maybe a quarter of a mile, maybe a half a mile, and then you're going to start going downhill, and then you're going to hit the finish line. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, there must be a God. There's got to be a God here. So the last 2 miles, I felt great. I was running, not real fast, but I was running, and I completed the race. Hallelujah. I completed the hunky-dory one half marathon in Breckenridge, Colorado. Now, I will tell you this. I'll back up for a second. For those last 2 miles, I started getting text messages from my lovely wife, Yoko, who said, where are you? She's like texting me, the last 2 miles, where are you? And I replied back. I said, hey, didn't you get my message earlier? I said, I'm going to continue this thing. And she says she didn't get it, but she says she's freezing. It's raining hard. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, the sky did open up at about mile 11 for me. So even though it was level and downhill, it started to rain. And it started to rain pretty hard. And I didn't feel bad because I knew I had like a finite amount to go. I know I had only 2 miles to go. So it didn't really bother me. But Yoko, who was already finished the race, she was done. She was at the finish line. No car key. She couldn't get into a warm car. She was soaking wet. She said it was cold. She said her fingers were freezing up. There was nothing I could do. I was 2 miles away, and I had the keys, and there's nothing I could do. So here I am trying to finish this race, trying to text her. Imagine texting her as I'm running, and it's raining out, and my phone's wet. Luckily, I have a waterproof casing for my phone, but I'm texting her, hey, look, my approximate finish time is going to be 11:10 or whatever it was, 12:10, I can't remember. Yeah, probably 12:10. I pretty much figured that's what time I'm going to be crossing the line. But she said, I'm cold. My fingers are freezing. I said, look, there's nothing I can do. I'm finishing this race. Please just try to find some kind of shelter. Find something, and I'll be there, I promise. And you'll take the car key from me and get in the warm car. So the last 2 miles, I'm feeling bad. I'm feeling bad for my wife who finished, is cold, is freezing, is shivering, and there's nothing I could do. But I finished the race. I crossed that finish line. There were still people behind me, even though there were only three. There were people behind me, but I finished the hunky-dory one-half marathon in Breckenridge, Colorado, after having a bout with a bug, threatening skies, and craziness. And the reason I'm telling you this story is simply because sometimes you've got to get out of your comfort zone. It's easy to be in an air-conditioned car, driving somewhere, sitting inside your home, drinking a cup of coffee, sitting on the sofa watching TV. I mean, those are easy things to do, but you're not going to gain a lot of strength or can't think of what word I'm even looking for. You're not going to really challenge yourself when you're doing those kind of things. But when you're out there, when you set a date that you're going to run whatever it may be, a 5K race, a 5 mile or a half marathon, a marathon, an ultra marathon, whatever it may be, when you put that on the calendar, you are committing to something. You're committing to training. You're committing to showing up at that event. You're committing as best as you can to finish. Now, I want to get back to you. I told you at the beginning, I planned not to finish this race. And it was only because I just got over being sick. I mean, I'm high up in the mountains, ill, on medication. I mean, my medication was over, but not feeling that well, threatening to rain. Well, I paid $60 to be in this race, but it wasn't that important for me to finish. I knew there were other races that were going to come up if I didn't finish this one, and my body was more important to me. And that's why I said to Yoko, I said to even the people at the beginning, I said, I'm going to probably be dropping out after the halfway point. I'm going to head to the end. I'm going to just head back to the finish line. And I thought that was the right thing. But during this race, I made the decision. I changed my mind. It's okay to change our minds. Look, it's okay to change your mind. If you're running a marathon and you feel horrible at the halfway point, you just feel like you can't put one foot in front of the next. You just can't do it. And it's going to hurt your body. It's going to weaken your immune system. It's going to do something. There's nothing wrong with stopping. There's nothing wrong because there are going to be more races. There's going to be other opportunities. There are going to be more things you can do in the future. But I was the opposite. I was ready to drop out until mile six. And I said to myself, I am flipping going for this thing. I'm going to finish this thing. I'm going to get the t-shirt. I'm going to wear the medal at the end, but I'm not going to eat the food. They had food at the end, by the way. They had food. They had all kinds. They had sub sandwiches. They had pizza. Nothing vegan. So what did I do? I munched on a half a peanut butter sandwich that I brought in the car with me after I was finished. After I finished running 13 miles in the mountains, in the rain, up and down, single track trails, I munched on a peanut butter sandwich. Yeah, it's vegan. It's plant-based. I don't make exceptions. I don't say, oh, I just finished a half marathon. I can have a piece of cheese pizza. I don't do that. My health and the animals are way too important to make even one exception. I just don't do it. I don't make exceptions. I could go get something else to eat somewhere had I not carried food. I always come prepared during a race, and I always have food in my backpack, which is a Camelback. I always have food in my backpack. I have energy gels. I have a half a sandwich. I have whatever it takes. I come prepared. I do that when I travel too, so I don't have to make any exceptions. I just don't do it. Being vegan, being plant-based is too important for me. And not only for me, but for the animals. It's too important to make any exceptions at all. I felt great after the race. Yeah, Yoko was a little upset with me because she was free, and understandably so. She was freezing and she had nowhere to go, and it was basically she had to stand out in the rain. She found like a little undercover tent she could duck under, but I understand. She was cold, she was chilled, and I felt horrible. But when I had to make the decision, am I going to go for this or not, I figured, okay, I got the chance right now. I'm going to finish this race. I'm going to do it. And there's no feeling like accomplishment, like of accomplishment, like when you finish a race and you cross that line and they give you a medal. I mean, it's emotional. Sometimes you cry. And I didn't want to take that feeling away from me that day when I felt, as soon as I realized I can do this thing, I can do it. I'm at 6 mile point. I can do it again. I can do another 6 miles. Now, granted, the second, well, 6.5 even, the second 6.5 were much more difficult. Now, had I known there was going to be that 2 mile uphill run between miles 9 and 11, had I known that, yeah, I'd still do it. I think I'd still do it. It was worth every, I was going to say every penny, but it was worth every bit of energy, every minute I had, all the endorphins. It was worth it. It was totally worth it to cross that finish line and feel so good. And then to celebrate that evening with a really cool Chinese meal with Yoko. We went to our favorite Chinese restaurant. Yeah, what's it called? China Jade? Is that what it's called in Breckenridge? I think that's what it's called. And we know the owners, Ken and Ping, and they just make us great vegan food when we head in there. We don't even have to look at the menu. They never give us the menu. We just walk in and they make us great vegan food. Oh my God. It's so great. What an experience. Finishing the hunky-dory half marathon in Breckenridge, Colorado. If you had a chance, try it. Try the Hunky Dory Half Marathon in Breckenridge, or there's another one called the Breck Crest, which is actually harder. We did that last year. It takes you up way above tree line. Oh, it's a tough one. It's only a half marathon, but you will feel like you've run an ultra probably. Whatever you do, challenge yourself a little bit. Challenge yourself, not to the point where it's dangerous, but challenge yourself a little bit. And if you're feeling good, go for it. I hope you're feeling great. I truly hope you are feeling fantastic today, because I am. I'll talk to you next time. Dr. Dave, Dr. Vegan.
Thanks for listening to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. Please be sure to join us again next week. And remember, you are no longer alone.